Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with me, Deb Wolf, at All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And yes, my surname is Wolf. I changed my name to Wolf when I published my book in, I think it was 1996. It might have been 1997. It was that year. And I guess we're going to go down a little bit of a wolfy path here because I've just been told that our guest name has something to do with wolves as well. So welcome to the show, Dr. Villalobos.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deborah.
So what's the significance of your name? Were you born with that name?
Yes, I was. The name means house or way or village of the wolves.
Nice. So it was meant to be, I suppose, that
I
you become
so.
An animal doctor. Have you worked with wolves?
Only occasionally when I was in veterinary school. We had, you know, we saw the animals at the Sacramento Zoo with the late Dr. Murray Fowler. And so we worked with them and some, you know, fox and some other canids that are wild. And now I'm working with some friends who are actually looking at ancient wolves and ancient fox to see if they have hip dysplasia and shoulder issues genetically, because we haven't been able to breed them out from, you know, the general population of dogs. So we're looking to see how old those genes really are. So that's interesting.
You see, I find that interesting that we haven't been able to breed that out. And yet, like, there's other things such as epilepsy, which I understand why we can't breed that out, because often it doesn't show up until a dog's finished its breeding career. So you don't need to know. But with hip dysplasia, with all the recommendations and the qualifications and in breeds where it's known you have to, before you even breed the dog, get it looked at, like, you'd think we could easily get rid, wouldn't you think?
You would think that, but it's not as easy, and that's why the, you know, doctors who are studying, the paleontologists and the doctors, pathologists who are looking at ancient bones are trying to find how deep in the DNA is it, and maybe we just cannot get it out of the DNA.
But if it isn't in there, if wolves, foxes, coyotes never get it.
No, they do get it. That's the problem.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yes.
They were hoping they wouldn't find it, but it is.
And it really makes them have a lot more trouble hunting, and they can't, you know, they can't survive as long. And you'd think that natural selection would have taken those out, but not so. We feel that the genes might be very, very deeply in the genetics of dogs, and that's why, even though, you know, you can pick out the ones that have the worst hip dysplasia when they're puppies, we do know that some dogs don't display it until they're 2 years of age, and that's the problem. The same thing for epilepsy; they don't show it until they're older.
Sometimes much older. I know.
Right?
And when you think of these coyotes and wolves and foxes, I know there was a book, I wish I could remember the author, recently, and I kind of felt like her conclusion was a little strange, but she was looking at packs of animals and sort of saying that, you know, they kill the weak, they get rid of the weak, they have no soul, they have no Christian essence, sort of a thing. And I
Are
kind
you
of...
talking about nature?
I think I might be. I just read it.
That's natural selection, you know, the survival of the fittest, and I wouldn't bring any religion into that. It's just, you know, just the way it is out there in the real, you know, world. The elements and predation usually takes care of the weakest. And that's a point that I wanted to make in our end-of-life talk, is because, you know, when pet owners love their pets and they're getting older and older, you know, nature would have taken an old, sick animal completely out of the situation, out of the scene, just because they slow down and then there's predators. But in end-of-life care, we are protecting our little ones from the elements and from illnesses that we can correct. And so we want to show as much compassion as we can in the, you know, and introduce the concept of hospice and pet hospice for the ailing animals. And many of them do have hip dysplasia and arthritis and debilitation where they can't walk well. And it's amazing.
Yes, you're getting into this really difficult topic. You know, but it does sort of tie in with what I was kind of suggesting, is that this author had made this point about animals, but and I think in a way it's coming to play with hip dysplasia, because if really there was no compassion amongst the pack or the herd or the pride, if there really wasn't, none, zero, no family ties, nothing, no caring for the lame, then they would get prey on. They would be gone. But somehow they survive to mate despite their weakness. The pack must be protecting them or feeding them, wouldn't you think?
No, because the pack moves, and if they get left behind, they're predated. And it's nothing to do with compassion or
so they just manage to, they must manage to mate before then. Or you're saying, I'm not clear what the connection is with the DNA and these illnesses. Like how, if they die.
It's deeply embedded. And the fact is that, you know, the older animals that have hip dysplasia and arthritis, you know, they may have manifested it later on in their lives, and the young ones who manifested it younger would have been taken out by predation.
Make it into mating age, and that's mm-hmm. how it goes. Okay, I understand that now. So we're moving on to the end-of-life topics, because this is very uncomfortable for a lot of people, including myself, and we've touched on
people
it
don't
a little.
Talk about, yeah, people don't want to talk about death and dying. But I want you
to
know,
and
Deborah,
this idea that you would do, your dog would do anything for you, so you should do anything for him. But anything for him when he's in pain and every day is misery, maybe isn't the same as keeping him alive another day. Maybe that's not the definition of doing everything your dog would want you to do. It's such a tricky thing to figure out, though.
It is, and if people understand the concept of how dogs and cats think, they're pretty much in present time. So if they're suffering constantly, they basically are very frustrated and very unhappy, and their quality of life is miserable. And it amazes me how many people allow suffering in their animal. Bad teeth, you know, horrible teeth where they're loose and rotten and smelly, and people will still say, oh, he just has bad breath. And so people are really kind of often very complacent, very nonchalant about an animal that's right in their home that they love. I think it's ignorance or complete denial or somewhere where you don't put the two and two together, like, oh my God, he's limping. That must mean he's in pain. Let's go to the veterinarian. Let's go and see if we can help him. And so this is really important, especially as pets get older, because there's very few dogs and cats that are older that I've met that didn't have arthritis and arthritis pain. And people will say, well, he doesn't jump on the couch anymore. He can't jump on the bed anymore. He has trouble going up and down the stairs. Well, those are the only signs that you get. And we need to, as people, interpret those as signs of pain.
That's okay. We have to go to break. We're going to be back with the next segment, but I think that's totally key. We think if our dog isn't telling us, if our cat isn't throwing an all-out strike in protest, they're fine, you know, and they're not little humans. They're not going to say, oh my God, my head hurts. I can't stand. No, they're going to get excited when you bring out the leash, even though they're hurting. And so I think that's what we forget. And we have to learn to read the signs, and especially if you have changes. You know, like you were saying about the bed, like all of a sudden your cat won't be on the bed anymore, won't use the litter anymore, your dog doesn't come upstairs anymore, looks afraid when you come.
The normal activities that they used to do are now, you know, far and few between, and that's a sign. That's the only signs we get. We have to know to interpret those as pain and take your pet to the vet.
We'll be back with Dr. Villalobos after the break to talk more about pain and pets and how to make your pets comfortable, and especially as they get older. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy, and I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're listening to Deborah Wolf on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you want to see those baby kittens I rescued who are now eating solid food, thank God. And they've been to the vet and they've had everything done to them, so they're totally safe. And they will not give us fleas or worms or cat ear ticks or all the other things. Gosh, when you consider rescuing kittens or puppies, be careful what you get into. Make sure you're prepared for it. I was, I am. They're here. You can check them out on Facebook, Camp Good Dog. We rarely post pictures of cats and kittens at Camp Good Dog's Facebook, so this is a special treat. But coming to us today, we've got Dr. Alice Villalobos, and we are talking about some difficult issues. Doctor, I find two things right away have kind of rung bells with me when you've been talking, and one is that you're talking about how people mistake things as normal. Oh, he just has bad breath. I get the behavior thing. They call me in, and they want me to train their bad dog. He's grumpy. No, he's not grumpy. He's in pain. He needs to go to the doctor. That's what I get. So I understand this misdiagnosing things. You must get it a lot.
Well, we actually have the selected people that actually have come in to see the veterinarian. I'm talking about, you know, the general public, the listeners who may not even put the two dots together. So when I see the patients, you know, usually people are saying, God, there's something wrong. Can you help me? And then we find out, you know, what is causing the abnormal behavior. So at the root of it, we just have to inform and educate pet lovers that animals communicate their pain in very secretive ways because they're really cut out to survive. The nature of animals is survival, and so they don't really exhibit a lot of their weaknesses. They will try to keep up with the pack. The dog will move from room to follow you because that's what his genetic survival instinct is. But when they're in pain, you know, they'll often back off on that or withdraw or be more lethargic. And then, you know, people will hopefully put that together. If the pet is chewing their food on one side of the mouth versus another, hopefully people will put that together. But I recommend a good physical exam. You know, when you have a
pet
dog or
that
cat,
used to be social and go with the flow and easygoing and happy, all of a sudden is grumpy when jostled or grumpy when crowded, or that's a sign that touch is hurting them.
You know, I wouldn't even say it's all of a sudden, because arthritis is something that creeps up on everybody. Yeah, so it's not all of a sudden.
True.
It's just that this is different than what normal. So look what normal is, and then try to assess if the pet's in pain. And then
that brings up something else. You got to know what normal is. You got to know what normal is for your type of animal, but also your actual animal. And that means touching them all the time, right? Like, you're not going to notice a new lump. And maybe you won't notice that lumps are normal on a Shar Pei. If you're not, like, onto this, you got to know what you're feeling, where you're feeling it, who you're feeling, and you got to touch your pets,
me to help your readers, I can give you the warning signs of illness or cancer in pets, and that we can just check those off if you want to do that. Number one is exactly as you've said, Deborah, just palpate, feel the dog. You know, put your hands over the body and feel where the lymph nodes are under the neck and the armpits and the in front of the shoulders and the groin. Open the mouth. Look inside that mouth. And if you see abnormal swellings that continue to grow, definitely around the nipples or anywhere in the abdomen or testicles, take that pet to the doctor. And then look at sores. Any sores that are ulcerated or raw, they don't heal in 2 weeks, Mm-mm, doesn't sound good at all. That may be cancer from the sun in a white cat, especially if they're out in the sun, dogs with lily white skin. Cats get it on their ear tips and their noses, and dogs can get it anywhere in their belly if they sleep upside down facing the sun.
Yeah, pink skin dogs right. With freckles, spots, blue eyes. These are all dogs that maybe Dalmatians. These are all dogs that got to watch the sun.
And then another sign would be weight loss or decreased appetite or reduced energy. Also, looking at the color of the lips and the eyelids is really important. People can actually see when a dog is pale, you know, and if it's not as pink as your tongue, that's a problem.
That's where knowing your dog really comes in. Because, like, I have one kitten that I just rescued where one half of her mouth is beige and the other half of her mouth is pink. Well, I know that's her normal. Some dogs are black, pink, red. There's different colors in there. You got to know what's normal, don't you?
Yeah, but it makes it hard when they're black pigmentation. So sometimes you have to lift the pull the lower eyelid down and look inside to see that pinkness there. But we want people to know if their pet is running around anemic with a low red blood cell count. But moving on, you know, if you see your pet having difficulty eating or swallowing, just as I've said, or salivating and or vomiting, you know, some people tell me, oh, my cat's been vomiting every day for the last 2 months. Well, that's really abnormal. Cats only vomit a hairball maybe every 2 months. So that's really important, vomiting. And then if a dog is having difficulty breathing, difficulty urinating, like if they get prostate tumors, they get bladder cancer, check the urine. Look to see if the stream is good in a male and a female. Make sure there's no blood in the urine and check for loose stool or diarrhea or constipation if they're having difficulty eliminating. These are all reasons to take that pet to the doctor. And then, of course, the trouble walking. We talked about arthritis, hesitation to exercise, hesitation to go up and down the stairs, or just lethargy laying around. And then continuing on with persistent lameness or stiffness, if you have an older dog and one leg is bothering him, be sure to get an x-ray. Don't walk out of the doctor's office without asking for an x-ray or setting up yourself to get an x-ray in another week or two if it didn't just clear up.
Now, what about something like, okay, I have one of my eldest dogs. He hasn't had an x-ray, though, but off and on he sort of has a lameness to one of his legs, as if he's twisted the muscles. Then it gets better again. It can be better for months or a year, and then it'll happen again. I have had him in when it wasn't acting up. Unfortunately, I've never actually timed it when I've had him in when it was acting up.
But I've had him in. Because there are certain breeds that have shoulder. Is this a shoulder, a front leg, or a back leg?
It's a foreleg, and it's a standard.
They have shoulder issues that have, you know, little lesions that can sometimes be irritated, and then other times you can have resolve. They can be resolved, especially larger breed dogs. So it's a good idea to take a look at it. But if he does get well for long periods of time, you're very lucky. That's very good.
Yes, and you'll hear him squeal. It's almost like he twists it funny. And then he'll be not using that leg. I'll book the vet appointment, and he'll be fine. It's like he knows. He knows when it's written on the calendar.
No, it's not that. It's just that he is feeling better. They're not trying to trick you.
They're not. No, I'm just joking.
He probably has some sort of, you know, disease in the cartilage of the bone, either in the elbow or the shoulder. But you can.
You know, if he could trick me, he would trick me into taking him. He's that type of dog. He's so friendly. He would want to go for the.
He likes going to the vet. That's great.
Yes, he does.
With the warning signs of illness and cancer in pets, I would check for any bleeding or discharge from any body opening. If you see blood anywhere, be sure to, you know, take a look and see if you can find out where it's coming from, and then take your pet to the vet. And then at the last one, but it's not the least, is increase of water intake. A lot of people, they always been drinking a lot of water for the last 2 months. Well, that's a long time to drink a lot of water without getting them checked out, because it could be a sign of kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, a calcium imbalance, hormone imbalances. And then, of course,
I once met a Wheaton with Addison's that seemed to drink a lot of water. You know what? We're running out of time on our second segment. Can you join us for a third?
Certainly.
I hope so. Oh, good. Okay, because we're going to talk about the quality of life, the scale.
Great.
I notice there are people out there, I meet them and their dog, maybe I'm training their new puppy and they have an older dog, and they tell me, well, we're going to put him down, but he can still go to the bathroom and he still eats and he still likes car rides. Then I meet them 6 months later and they're saying, well, he doesn't get in the car anymore and he doesn't really eat very well, but he can still make it to the bathroom. A couple months later, he can't make it to the bathroom. And they keep sliding the line. mean? So where do you put the line? We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, to talk with Dr. Villalobos about what you're going to do. Your pet's going to get there in 10, 12, 15 years. It's going to happen. You have to think about this. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near,
your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. And we're talking with Dr. Alice Villalobos. And we're talking about end-of-life issues. You know, I've got a friend right now who's given his dog several different treatments and bouts of cancer, and the dog is still hanging in there. And it's really tough to know when enough is enough. You'll go to the vet and they'll recommend all kinds of treatments. When do you stop? When's enough enough? And how do you help people make this decision, doctor?
Well, Deborah, I've actually been asked by the Veterinary Ethics Society to give a paper on preventing overtreatment in cancer referral centers for terminal dogs, and that's a tough one. It really is. But I have to say, I've helped animals with very advanced cancer do really well. It's just one patient at a time. It's an individualized event for each family and each pet. But overall, there are many cancers that dogs die from. In fact, 1 in 4 dogs under the age of 10 will have cancer, and 1 in 2 dogs over the age of 10 will die from cancer. So it's 1 in 4 under the age of 10 will have cancer and die from it, and then 1 in 2 if they're over 10, they will die from it. So it's a big disease. So let's talk about cancer and terminal
cancer.
And the fact is that we were just talking that dogs like to keep up with the pack. So they don't show their signs.
I saw a pug on chemotherapy. She was here for months. She was a boarding customer. And I had to really make sure she didn't overdo it. You would never know that she was on chemotherapy, this little
animal. She was great. Yeah, she wanted to run and play.
She had a little upset stomach. She had nausea in the mornings. You could see that. But other than that, looked
that's
the same
wonderful.
As always.
And that's the way, you know, that's the way it should be, is that the treatment should not cause, you know, more problem than the disease. And, you know, that's where we want to draw the line. You talked about where do we draw the line. And I believe that, you know, Hippocrates was right when he says, first, let's do no harm, and then let's proceed with increasing the quality of life. Now, I have a quality of life scale that went viral all over the world. It's available on my website. That's the PAWSPICE website. It's spelled PAWSPICE.com. It's Paw and Spice, and it rhymes with hospice. So it's PAWSPICE. And on that website, you can go to the quality of life page, and you can download a quality of life scale for dogs and cats. And we go over the criterion. There's 7 basic important things that we want to, as pet lovers, to check for our pet to make sure that we're not.
This would have helped me so much back when I had my Wolf Cross, who, you know, every week was he had spinal myelopathy. For people listening, the back end doesn't receive messages from the front end, and you end up with a very alert, bright, clever half of a dog. And then the other half is kind of dragging behind him. It's really sad.
What was his breed?
He was just a mutt. Heinz 57. Big dog.
Yeah, what did he weigh?
75 pounds, maybe?
Yeah, about a lot of big dogs have that problem. Lots of big dogs have degenerative myelopathy where they don't know where their back legs are, and if it progresses further, they can't use their front legs either, and they can't defecate properly or wag their tail. It's a very tough disease and very common. So we don't have to just talk about cancer patients, but it can be about anything, organ failure, and certainly
I find people, when we were talking about pain before, I find people are way more likely to react to the dog or cat in accidents. If the cat is peeing on the bedspread or pooing on the carpet, if the dog can't make it outside, they're going to euthanize, maybe without fully investigating and seeing that the problem is solvable even. Whereas with all this other stuff, they'll let their dog live with chronic pain as long as he's not making a mess. And I'm not trying to be critical of the people. I think it's just our disgust at the urine feces issue as humans. It takes over, maybe. I don't know. Do you find that?
Well, you're right about accidents, you know, because they're so traumatic and they're so sudden and acute. You have a perfectly well animal and suddenly they're smashed. So, of course, there's an emergency visit and there's lots of diagnostics going on. But when it's chronic, sometimes it just creeps up on us. A lot of people don't even see the fleas on their pet because the dog might have black hair. And they don't realize, oh, he's itching, now he's itching more, now he doesn't have any skin on his butt. You know, it just gets on and people don't really take the time to look at the fact that itching is very painful. But on our quality of life scale, number one is pain, hurt. I actually named this quality of life scale so it's real easy for people to remember when they're standing on their feet. It has five H's and two M's. So the five H's are hurt, hunger, hydration, hygiene, happiness. And then the two M's are mobility and then more good days than bad days. So the first one, hurt, we've been talking a lot about. And just the idea is people list not being able to breathe as the worst pain they've ever felt. And so we want to make sure that people know when a pet is not breathing properly, that that is first and foremost, and nothing else matters.
Well, it's scary. I've seen children with this in asthma attacks, or when you're rushing, you're in a school setting and you're rushing to get them the puffer. They look terrified, right?
They are.
They
need to have oxygen, and they need to have, bronchodilators immediately. And kitty cats can, you know, and dogs can have arrow cat and arrow dog, where they can inhale the right substances to help dilate the airways. So the next H is hunger. We should not let our pets starve to death in our presence. They don't get enough calories if they don't feel well, and especially with cats who don't have the ability to use their tongue if they have tongue cancer. But it's really important if we can hand feed or use a syringe to help our pet take in the right calories. And sometimes a pet will need a feeding tube, especially if they're having surgery in a place where it's going to obstruct their ability to eat properly. And then the next
stage is wait a minute. And if I hand feed a sick dog, which I do, or sometimes a lonesome dog or a dog who's new at the kennel and isn't eating right, you know, usually within a meal or two, he won't need it anymore. But if I were to do that for my old dog, I think he'd want it all the time. I think it would be a little bit of a con for the extra attention, you know. But he's a standard poodle. He'd figure out very quickly that, oh, if I don't eat, Mom will come hand feed me. Like, do you get into situations like this?
My 12-year-old bulldog, I have an old English bulldog named Neo, and he loves it when I hand feed him. And then he'll sometimes look at his dinner and kind of like look at me, and he wants me to hand feed him. But I'll just tell, no, Neo, you got to eat your dinner yourself. But
okay.
I do give him his morning medications.
Okay, so actually, we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to let you finish this chart because
The other thing is hydration. We don't want to have a dehydrated pet, so we need to give fluids at home. And we can learn how to do this at home. It's very, very nice. The doctors and nurses can teach us how to hydrate our pet. And then hygiene. If we aren't unable to keep a big dog who's not walking properly clean, then that's bad news. So we want to avoid pressure sores, because if they're just laying there, they can have really bad sores. So hygiene and pressure sores is really important in a big dog, especially. It doesn't matter. You can have a scale of 1 to 10. You know, all of these are scaled 0 to 10. And a dog or a cat, if they're little, if they can't move around, that's okay. For mobility, okay? But happiness is really important. If the pet is not happy, and that's where I draw my line, if the pet is not happy and the two-way human-animal bond is not going back and forth and they're not interested in anything you say or
do,
then
what's the point?
Life is not worth living.
Yeah.
And people feel the same
way. Then you have mobility and more good days than bad. And I think more good days than bad is really key for those pets that
very
go up
important.
And down. Because we remember the good ones. You got to write it on a calendar. Keep track. Be honest with yourself. Dr. Villalobos, we have to go now. We've run out of 3 segments, I'm afraid. It was so nice having you on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
You're welcome. Hopefully, people can just go up to my website, and there's lots more to read there, lots of detail about different conditions, end-of-life care, and articles. There's a special article called Compassion Through the Journey that was written in a magazine called Vet Advantage Magazine, and it just got the passion of my career. The reporter just did a great job, so I urge everybody to read that.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Everybody, stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
New Vet Plus, your pet's best friend. New Vet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth. We've got Elizabeth Holtz from Alley Cat Rescue. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you. So tell us what's new in the cat world.
Well, we will be having National Feral Cat Day this October 16th. And we're just really excited about it, and lots of people across the country will be hosting events and celebrating National Feral Cat Day in support of community cats and trap neuter return.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about TNR, first of all, trap neuter return. Why is this a good thing? What's it all about? And what does one, if I see a pointed one-eared cat, if you're out there listening and you're watching, you're downtown somewhere, you're eating your lunch after work, you see this cat somewhere, and you think, I wonder where he lives, and one of his ears has been cut neatly, just the tip gone, well, I can tell you where he lives. Can you tell them where he lives, Elizabeth?
Yes, he lives in their community. Ear tip, it's usually on the left ear, indicates that the cat has been through the trap neuter return process, which means he's been humanely trapped, spayed or neutered, vaccinated against rabies, and then ear-tipped and returned to his outdoor home.
Would he also receive care for things that ail him, like worms and fleas and ticks and stuff like that?
Yes. During his spay-neuter surgery, the veterinarian would also address any other issues he might have.
Okay. So why are we doing this? Why wouldn't, I mean, there are people out there who would think, okay, well, why don't you just adopt them out or euthanize them? Like, why would you choose to release them in groups among people and communities?
Sure. Well, trap neuter return is actually the only effective approach we have for community or feral cats. A feral cat is a cat that is not socialized to people, so they can't be adopted into homes. And they're happy living outdoors. That is their home. We like to say these community cats are not homeless. Their home is the outdoors. So that's why they can't be adopted. And we don't support trapping and euthanizing for two reasons. One, because we don't support the euthanization of healthy animals. But also, two, due to something called the vacuum effect, trapping and euthanizing cats does not decrease the overall population.
Okay, the vacuum effect. This is something that operates not just with cats. Coyotes have this too. The more you kill, the more they have more babies. That's how coyotes work. How does it work? Is it the same with cats?
It's the same thing. When you remove cats from a location, whether to euthanize them or relocate them, the survivors of that catch and kill effort either breed back to capacity or new cats in the surrounding areas move in and then they breed.
It's kind of like a population density thing. It's sort of like, you know, if you had a really crowded country and no border, no guards, no nothing, and another crowded country, but all the people just left or were taken away one day. Well, the people who were all crowded would spread out, wouldn't they? They'd come over that line. And that's how it works with these cat populations. Coyote population is a little different because it's pack-driven and pack-ridden. It's a rule, like with wolves. So not everybody breeds every time. So it's really connected to the food source. If there's enough food for every female in the pack to have pups, she will. If there isn't, only the top ones will. And so at any given time, they can go up to having way more puppies if there's more food. And there will be more food if there's less coyotes because humans killed them. So that's how that works. That's why killing them just never, never works. But I wonder with the cats, we have that worry about, you know, about why there's a lot of people who would like to see them eradicated, but since we can argue that doesn't work, what about the songbirds? This is always the other thing that I get argued with. I get told that the birds are, you know, they need to nest on the ground and the cats disturb their nests. And I say things like, well, cats prefer rats and mice to birds. And most of the, if it's ever, ever a TNR location is ever in, you know, direct conflict with a very, very sensitive area, they move the TNR location. So this kind of specific where you find this endangered species of bird and here are these feral cats, that doesn't really happen, right?
That is pretty rare. But the biggest argument that we have is simply that catching and killing or relocating doesn't work. So just because there are birds there, by removing them, by removing those cats, you're still going to experience the vacuum effect. So the only way to actually decrease the population.
Okay, I understand, because you can take those cats away, but more will come. And, you know, people would suggest poison, but once you put poison out there, you don't know where it's going to go, right? It goes through everything.
Yes, and also poison would be the same as trapping and killing. I like to say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and just expecting different results. So people who are concerned about birds should support trap, neuter, return if they want to decrease the population, because by opposing TNR and saying and wanting to go with the status quo, which is trapping and killing, is not going to decrease the cat population.
How many cats do you think are in the program right now? Do you have any way of knowing?
No. I would say that trap, neuter, return is being carried out in every community in the country and in many places around the world. But in a lot of places, it's being done privately by nonprofit groups or Good Samaritans. Though there are more and more local governments every day are also having their animal control actually participate in trap, neuter, return.
And I guess you get a lot of help from veterinarians.
Yes, we can't do the N and TNR, the neuter, without veterinarians.
Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest key to all this, right, is that they're not making more babies. Because I don't think people realize how many kittens a cat can have. I mean, it's astounding. It's really astounding, right?
Yes, and most people don't realize that cats can start breeding at a very young age. So that's why we recently launched it.
4 to 6 months, you can get your little, your adorable little kitten can get pregnant as early as 4, 5, 6 months and start having litters every couple of months. And then the kitten she has will start having litters and they'll start having litters. Like that shampoo commercial they used to have where it would say, and so on, and so on. And the screen would duplicate and then quadruple and then turn into eight, like that. So fast. So fast, so fast, so fast. So how do people get a hold of Alley Cat Rescue? How do they find out more about you? Because we're running out of time in this segment.
Well, we're actually called Alley Cat Allies, and I would recommend that you just look us up online, alleycat.org, and we have lots of great resources for people both interested in conducting trap, neuter, return, and for people who want to lobby their local governments and have them participate.
And there's all kinds of ways to get involved, from maybe just sitting at a booth with brochures one afternoon in a mall, or actually doing stuff with cats, or driving, or donating. All kinds of needs Alley Cat would have, right, Elizabeth?
Yes, we have lots of different options for people, any way they want to get involved.
All right, so thank you very much, everybody. That was Elizabeth Holtz. Thank you very much for coming from Alley Cat. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. All right, everybody. So they're doing the good work of keeping those feral cats among us healthy, amongst us healthy and not breeding. And that's important work. See if you can help them out if you're interested in feral cats and TNR, trap, neuter, and release, and how it works. Check out what Elizabeth's got going on there at Alley Cat. All right, everybody. On Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, we'll be back in a moment. And I will give you the call-in numbers when we get back if you want to have a reading, if you want to contact a pet that maybe has died, something like that. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and it's Deb Wolf, your host, and we're here. We're going to go on the wild side a little bit here. Oh, I'm asking for the station call numbers, yes, because I want them. I want to give them out, and I think I've got them. 1-888-627-6008. I did have them correctly. See, that was good. I'm glad I gave out the right call numbers. So, did you lose a pet? Is one missing or actually gone? Would you like to find out what happened, how it's doing, if it loved you, if it's all right now, if it's comfortable where it is, anything like that, if you want to find out, you could call the show right now because we're going to be doing readings with Tara. With Tara, welcome to the show, and Magical Matrix, that's what we'll be connecting with today on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Thank you, Deb. Thanks for having me. Good to be here again.
It's good to have you. Well, where would you like to start on this meandering tour of ours? While we wait for the callers at 1-888-627-6008, I have lots of pets and pet memories and things like that, if that's where you want to go, or we can go anywhere you like.
Well, yeah, I'd love to talk about that in a moment. And I do want to say I so resonated, well, with both of your guests, but the first one especially. I'm almost 14 next month. That just this past month has had problems getting up the steps and jumping on the bed. And I took her to the vet yesterday, and it's like, oh, wow. So thank you for, you know, having those types of guests. It really does help for those of us that are, you know, getting close. So thank
you. It's a tricky time. It really is. And it's hard to see what's right in front of you. You know, I really find that you get this misguided attitude where you think, well, you know, he would pull me out of a fire. He would pull me out of a river. He would do anything. He would attack a huge man with a gun for me. So I can clean up his poo. Yes, I can. I owe him that, right? And you do this and you go, but you don't see that right in front of you is an animal that 23 hours a day is miserable. There's a half an hour when you come home where he's happy, another half an hour where he eats, and maybe an hour of deep sleep. The rest is just pain. Okay, that's not cool. He wouldn't do that for you. He'd put you out of your misery is what he'd do. You know, and that's where I think some of this stuff, it's hard to face, but maybe it's a little easier if we think our pets aren't gone forever. And I think that's where you're at.
Right, exactly. That's where I am. And our pets are with us. And I was talking with someone just the other day, and they were saying how they can feel their pet around them. And knowing that, you know, as we all are, humans, pets, we're spirits in this physical world. So when we know that they've given us so much happiness, like my dog is half Blue Heeler, half Dachshund, she has both breeds, just to the hilt. She's an athlete and so happy. She has and is continued for a little bit now here, giving us so much joy. And so I know that when she crosses over, that she will continue to be with me and love me, and we'll feel her. We'll definitely know when she's around. So that's exactly where I'm coming from. And I think so many people, you know, if you're missing your pet and you do, and they've crossed over, is, you know, sit down, take a deep breath. If you want to feel like you want to communicate with them. And I would say, you know, get comfortable in a chair and actually put your feet on the floor. You know, get grounded is important, to be grounded. And you can, you know, take a deep breath. Let your eyes roll down into your heart space, because that's, of course, where all animals come from, and come from that loving space. And just ask a question. How are you? How are you doing? And you might get a sensation, or you might get a first visual of what they're doing. And notice that it's your very first instinct that comes up. You know, people want to know, and they want to feel their pet around. And this is how you can do it, how they can communicate with you, even though they're not right there physically beside you, but spiritually they are. And, you know, you can thank them for coming to see you and for being with you. And they want to be around you, of course. You took care of them. You loved them. You fed them. Of course they do, or hopefully that you did.
When you tune into somebody's animal, do you know right away if it's a dog, a horse, a cat, a bird? Do you know right away? Like, is there a different way of thinking? Because to me, when I communicate with animals, which is not like yours, mine, you know, I get a dog that's pulling on the leash, and a few minutes later, he's walking nicely. It's not as hard to observe. But when I communicate with animals, I have to do it differently. Dogs, cats, horses, they don't train up the same. So I'm wondering, it seems to me they don't think the same. Do they think the same? Do they project the same type of thoughts, their spirits? Or is there like a... Sorry.
No, I was going to say that's a really good question. I think dogs and cats are a little bit similar in that they, you know, since they're inside, we treat them similarly as we feed them, and they're inside with us. Whereas horses are out in nature all of the time, and so I think they connect in a way that feels more. You know, they talk about the trees they're standing around, and they what the grass or the grains that they're eating. So I think they do communicate with us differently. I can usually tell when it's a dog or a cat.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gotten, do you get things from people, like people wanting to tell pets things? Do you ever have to communicate the reverse way? Like we're talking about animal spirits kind of, you know, my old beloved cat or dog trying to tell me it's okay. Does it ever go the other way?
Where people want to communicate with their animals?
Yes, or dead people want to communicate with live people or live animals through you? Does that ever happen?
Absolutely. I have, people that have crossed over that want to communicate with their family or friends. I had a woman and working with a woman, and something came up, just a real heart tug at my heart sort of feeling, and I went on and talked about these feelings, and she said, oh my gosh, she says, that was my little sister when she was a baby. She said, I had to take care of her, and so her little sister, who would then felt like a baby, who felt like a spirit to me, wanted to come through and talk to her. And yes, animals do too. They're very, very present in our lives. And so we need to honor that. And they come into the reading and they'll say I'm around, or they'll say what they're doing. And it's good validation. It's good knowledge to know that they're with us. And
okay. Now do other animals hear them more easily than we do? Like, say I'm in trouble, right? See, I feel like I've had some what can't be described as luck, because it's too lucky, where I'm walking through some dangerous situation and somehow some dog I don't even know goes out of its way to protect me, to, you know, walk in front of me and growl at a stranger and intimidate them and walk me like a block and a half the way I'm going. That kind of thing has happened to me more than once. And I wonder, is that my dog that died telling that dog, you get your butt over there and protect her? Or no, is that just luck? Is it just...
Now, that's a really good question. I believe that the animals do communicate with the ones that... The crossover animals communicate with the ones that are here now. And so they do that really easily. And so, with your story is, I do believe that, and it feels like to me, and I'm sort of doing my pendulum-like hand, and it feels like it was your animal communicating. So, they do like to tell us.
So, people, go rescue a Rottweiler. If you ever own a Rottweiler and treat it right, it will watch your back for your whole life long, even after it dies. That's amazing. Well, we've got to go. So, if people want a reading, if they want to talk to you, where can they go? Just, we got to tell them quickly. We got 60 seconds.
Okay, 60 seconds. You can call me at area code 512-203-6320, or you can go to my website. And it has all my information, themagicalmatrix.com.
Well, thank you very much, Tara.
Thank you, Deb.
Until next time, maybe next time some of my animals will be more vocal. I think they're mad at me for not recognizing their good work. They're like, how could you not know? Come on. We went out of your way. I'm waiting for you. Yeah, no, it's obvious. The same thing with the goats. They're awfully easy to herd sometimes. Somebody's helping me around here. All right, well, stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back, of course. Until next week, from Smart Animal Talk and All Paws Pet Talk Radio and me, Deb Wolf. Ooh, I'm going to post a petition on my Facebook page, so check it out later, Deb Wolf Pet Expert. I'm on Facebook, Deborah Wolf Pet Expert. I'm going to try and get a petition up because Michael Vick wants to own dogs again, and I just don't want that to happen. If you don't want that to happen, come check it out. I'm going to try and get a copy of it there. All right. So next week, we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Until then, be good to your animals.